In the name of our Lord, or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the all-being Holy Spirit be with us now. The epistle text for today is written in the first book of Timothy, in the first chapter, verses 12 through 17, and the words will be heard in Jesus' name. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear travel friends, listeners of the word, here at the RY, and perhaps also there in your homes. A moment ago, we were able to hear through our dear brother about Apostle Peter and the task that he was given. The Apostle's Day reminds us of the importance of this task. This task of preaching God's word and those who preach God's word. In an old school hymn of O King of Kings, it reminds me one verse from this hymn that says that, Lord, you often choose as your weapon us poor ones, that through them would be seen your great strength. God's plans are different than the plans of us human beings. The apostle in the book to the Romans said in this way, that, oh, that wisdom and knowledge of God, how how wonderful are his knowledge and his ways. Who would have guessed that Saul of Tarsus could become a worker of God, a man who threw all of his strength, or focused all of his strength, had fought against the God's kingdom and the preaching of God's word. Through this we can see, as we heard through our dear brother previously, how a person through their own understanding is in darkness. They have no light, and they have no understanding. A person who, according to the words of the hymn, who knows of their strength, and they often boast in this life, a person will often thinks that through their wisdom and their skills, they forget that these are from God. Unless God gives this understanding to a person in even these temporal matters, we are blind. We have enough examples in our time how many people work against society, against their dear ones, and against the people of society. They perhaps think ignorantly that what they are doing is correct. And for this reason, it is necessary for us to humbly stop, to pause when we discuss about wisdom and understanding, to pause and remember that all is from God. Saul of Tarsus. A miracle happened to Saul of Tarsus. The events of Saul of Tarsus have been spoken about so many times at these services that it feels, as a servant of the word, that do we need to go through it again? But this text gives us the opportunity to go through it again, or go through those events again. How had Saul, who was later called Paul, starts this text. He starts in this way: "And I thank Jesus Christ for our Lord, who hath enabled me, for they had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." In the first verse, we can see how the Apostle Paul does not take glory upon himself. Rather, he sees that it is through God's miracle that he has been blessed in the ministry. God has set him and invited him. And even yet today, God invites and sets the ministers in his kingdom today, such that each and every of God's children, through that holy priesthood. Can preach about that power that has transitioned you from the darkness into light. In other words, everyone in God's congregation is part of this holy priesthood and can take part in this work. And they can do this work that we heard about in our brother's sermon. They can preach the sins, the forgiveness of sins. We have perhaps followed those great religious, but in the end, as people, we only need a very little amount of this bread, such that this bread of life would be offered to the hungry, that sins would be forgiven, and this sermon of the gospel could be sent and can be received. That I can be a giver and a partaker of this sermon, if God so wills. When our dear brother spoke of the summer services, I was not able to not think about how so many who were there, who I noticed how they had been originally in the congregation, or they were no longer believers, but they came to the services. I thought about this person, that do you understand what a great place you have come to when you are here in the hearing of God's word. That the most central message, the central message of these summer services is not in these great portions of food that were served there, or the ice cream that was served, but it is also not in that number of 80,000 people who participated, even though this is something that everybody notices. Rather, the essential message of the summer services is something completely different. The central message of these services is this, where a poor can meet the rich, where a sinner can meet God's grace, where one who has no value and is of the lowest class can meet perfection. They can meet Jesus. Many may think, as they walked there amongst the great throng of the summer service guests, that they feel something special. It is also for us. It uplifts our hearts when we understand that Jesus has blessed his congregation. Perhaps it is so, as our dear brother spoke, earlier about those who were listening to the services at home, that perhaps you were able to concentrate even better on the central message of the summer services. There, where someone who is alone in great doubts, and they can hear the living gospel of God, there they meet the Heavenly Father, and they receive that which they need. Saul of Tarsus had been a great man. He thought that he had understood, but he, in the end, understood so little, even as it says that he had so much hate for the disciples of Jesus. And he thought he was not doing anything wrong. But why was that? He thought that this congregation of Jesus' believers was one that needed to be stopped. That its sermon needed to be stopped. That those ministers of that congregation needed to be silenced because they caused some difficulties there. That even when Stephanus was preaching, that even those who were not were uncircumcised, that sorry, I got lost. And Stephen was the first martyr. And Paul was of the opinion that when Stephen was murdered, Saul thought that this was the correct thing to do. As I have been thinking about this position of Saul, that when we meet people who seem to be very angry towards the word of God's congregation, we never know what God's plan for these people are. We do not know when we meet one who is gnashing their teeth, a very angry person, that perhaps this is just a person who is very uncertain and clear of themselves and their future. Perhaps this is a person who has been stopped by God, as Saul was stopped by God when Saul had to ask, "Who are you, Lord?" And God answered him, "I am Jesus, who thou persecutest." And so Saul, who was later Paul, he thanked Jesus Christ, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul, when he was still Saul, was able to meet God's brightness. And he was told to go unto the city of Damascus in order to hear what he was to do. And in Damascus, there was one who was sent by God. And you know what his name was. His name was Ananias. We understand that when God told Ananias to go there to the road to meet a man by the name of Saul who is praying, Ananias was reluctant and he said, I have heard many bad things about that man. And now he has come to Jerusalem to obtain or to catch your holy ones. But God says unto him, let go. He is a chosen weapon to carry my message unto the pagans and unto the kings of this world and before Israel. God surprised Ananias. He can surprise us as well. And for this reason, it is good and important that we would try to have the same approach as Ananias, that when he was perhaps in fear going to meet that man, that Saul, that he says in this way, that my brother Saul, dear brother Saul, the Lord that appeared before you on the road sent me so that you would receive your sight. In our time today, it is thought, and we see many examples of this, that hate works against hate, or it is thought in today's world that violence is the reaction to violence. But God's approach is a different approach. And when it is the approach of God, doesn't it mean that it is also our approach? Because we are the children of God. The children of God. Children in our homes, they learn from their mother and father about the ways of the home. So the children of God cannot work in a way that is opposite of God's ways. Our Lord, the Jesus Christ, taught in the Sermon on the Mount to pray on behalf of the persecuted, or the persecutors. And he explained to give unto our enemies water and food. And he said how when you do in this way, those fiery embers in his head will be snuffed out. What if those embers that were collected with love start to burn? If someone through their carnal thoughts stops and realizes that those children of God do not look like they are going to get revenge in the same way that we have taken our revenge on them. I have sometimes read some writings on the internet. In those writings, there doesn't need to be but a small spark before it becomes a great flame. This is not the way of the child of God. The child of God does not look for a bigger rock with which to stone someone. Rather, we are, even though we are poor and we are sinners, we are peacemakers. Peacemakers are needed in the modern times. We can think this way for sure. And of that persecutor and injurer became a chosen weapon of God, because he received the grace of repentance. The apostle says as well of himself that of the apostles, I am the smallest, and I do not even deserve the name of an apostle, because I have persecuted God's kingdom. But through God's grace, I am who I am. And his grace has not been lost on me. I have done more work than any of those. This work has not been done by me, but by God's grace, which has been given unto me. Apostle Paul, the work that he did was very difficult, but it was blessed. Paul, who had to experience the dark sides of this work, all kinds of persecution, imprisonment, persecution, and much defense, he still says that God's grace was with him. It must be there must be this something special for a person to have, that he would have the strength to do this work, even though it felt so difficult. This time is behind us, and it is part of history, but it is not too long ago where the brothers went on those mission trips to the small towns here in Finland. They skied. First they brought the word that in the evening there will be services, and then in the evening they went in to the town and they had services, kept services. And I think those ministers of today, we don't even know how to appreciate that work that they did. It might have also been so that some had left from very humble beginnings. Some even left during the summertime when the work season, the farm season was at its peak. They left on these mission trips and their families stayed home to continue their work. And the families and children had to stay home and do the work when the father left, for example, to America for a long mission trip. It is certainly easy for us ministers today. We can drive a car to the place. We can sit down at a coffee table. These services have already been published, and the brother is given some money, gas money, for their travel expenses. I can guess that those brothers from years ago, they would return from their mission trips without any compensation. Oh, what great love and mind of service that these brothers have. But their sermon was so great. They had to bring that word of grace and forgiveness that now we have gathered together the services of God, where we can hear the gospel message. The gospel message is a good message of Jesus Christ. And this is the message that those old brothers preached, and that message which is preached yet today. Someone may think that perhaps Saul was too great of a sinner because he imprisoned believers and persecuted them. That this was too great of a sin. And we know how there are many of us sinners here amongst the believers, and there are many great sinners, but there is not such a great sinner that they would not be given God's grace. Come, let us discuss, said the Lord. Even though your sins were blood red, they become white as snow. Even if they are purple, they become white as clean wool, from the book of Isaiah. And then from the Psalms, a familiar blessed are those who remember God's commandments and live with them. God's grace cannot be measured. It is infinite. God moves sin further than the east is from the west. There is no doubt that Saul of Tarsus received all of his sins forgiven. But that scar seems to still press him when he says that, oh, how blind I was. But he understands that he was ignorant and in unbelief. Would there be somebody listening to this sermon who has been to the services of God's children, perhaps to summer services? And you have perhaps been pricked in your heart like those who had stoned Stephen. This prick may affect in two different ways. To those who listened to Stephen, they hated him. But the other way it could affect is it could affect in such a way that he would be humbled. And if there is anyone who has heard God's word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts through the heart, and if there is anyone who has experienced this, and you would have only a few questions, or only one question yet, and this question that you perhaps are thinking in your mind, that can I still yet believe? Or can I have my sins forgiven? The enemy of souls preaches his own sermon and says unto you that no, you cannot have your sins forgiven. That the sins of such a one cannot be forgiven. No. That you have already made such a long journey in the wrong direction that it's impossible for you to return. But understand, dear one, that God's grace is greater than your sins. God's grace is unmeasurable. It is infinite. So much so that you also, as a sinner, as the greatest sinner, as Paul called himself as well, you can, this evening, you could believe from the sermon of our dear brother. But if you remained doubting, you can believe yet now again, all of your sins and your sin of unbelief forgiven. You can believe these forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, forgiven. There is not a greater name under the heaven through which the sins can be preached, forgiven. Jesus came here onto this earth to save us from sin. Even the sin of murder can be forgiven. It is such a great task that we have, dear children of God, to preach the grace of God. Jesus said that the healthy do not need to be healed, rather the sick need to be healed. This world is full of sick people. Even those who are sick unto death, who don't even know that they are sick unto death. They do not know this until God's word enlightens this unto them. And those who are enlightened can be healed. And the Lord Jesus in his kingdom is sitting on the grace throne in the middle of the kingdom. And one may think in this way that the sermon of the summer services could not have gone unnoticed because it was continuously preached in Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. But this message does not work if it is not believed. And for this reason, this evening, each and every one of you who has come to these services, as a poor one, can uplift your heart to believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. The apostle explains why all of these things have happened to him. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The apostle sets himself as an example of a great sinner that was loved by God and was given the grace of repentance. May he also be an example unto us this evening, that we, as God's children, even though we are believers, we are sometimes so often pressed down by our own sinfulness, and we doubt that it's true that I can believe my sins forgiven. If there would be one here who is so poor, who has come, for example, for the last time to services, in Jesus' name and precious blood, sister, believe your sins forgiven. If someone came with your last strength, you have as a gift the water of life. Uplift your heart to believe all of your sins and travel faults forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. When Jesus asked from his disciples that, don't you also want to go away? Peter answered him that unto who would we go? Because you have the word of everlasting life. These simple and perhaps unto some may feel that they're overused, these words. These words are the water and bread of life. It is that food for those who are hungry and thirsty. Dear travel friends, that should we not close our services in the words of the apostle? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. God has certainly earned our thanksgiving. He is a dear Father. Our journey as apostles is but when we thank God, this thanks goes to the right place. Dear brothers and sisters, it is beautiful for us to continue this summer evening, which we can see behind the windows. We could go and admire the greatness of God how he has surrounded us with so much goodness, that with my poor heart I send my thanks unto you, and with that prayer, that you would take care of me unto the end of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us quieten in the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.